Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Before you sit down, anybody tired in this place this morning? Anybody a little bit tired, a little bit lackey? No? A few of us. So this is what we need to do. I need you to walk around. I need you to give five high fives and tell five encouraging things to someone. Go around the room. Don't cheat. Don't stay in your your little lane. Go find someone else. Yeah. It's good to have you here. Yeah. I like it. I like it. I like what I'm seeing. Good stuff. All right, you can make your way back. Do your five, make your way back. Nicely done. That'll get the blood flowing, the blood pumping a little bit. Hopefully you said some encouraging things as well. All right, awesome. Good stuff. This morning we're diving into James 3. Before we do that, what questions, now that we're more comfortable with each other, right? We're friends now. We're close. What questions might you have for me in this place? Right here, pumpkin shirt. I love it. Favorite dinosaur. Actually, my daughter, Sayla, loves dinosaurs right now. So I think velociraptors are cool. But I also like pterodactyls because they fly, and that's pretty cool too. So I'm a pterodactyl fan probably, but we like velociraptors as well. What do you say, Batman? What do you say? Uh-oh, someone doesn't have a voice. It's only day 3. You don't either? All right, what other question do we got? Two more. Look right here. Was it hard to talk when I got my fake teeth? Not really. It felt weird. So what happened was, the finishing of the story was, I spit them in my hand. They were adult teeth, so I had to get root canals, which are terrible. So if you can help it, don't get root canals, because they're not fun. And then the root canals didn't land. They didn't stay. They didn't keep, even though the teeth were there. So I ended up having to get the fake teeth anyways. So no, they weren't difficult to talk with. It's like any other. It's probably less. Don't think dentures like your grandparents' dentures, but like, think they're there. They're permanent. So they're like, they're there. So it's not like there's a whistle happening necessarily. But it's not necessarily difficult, but it's fun. It's a fun story to be able to explain to people. So no, not difficult necessarily to talk. Right here. My favorite color. Ooh, my favorite color is like a blue, but like a light blue, like a kind of a baby blue, like that. Yeah, close to that. That's good. Like your hair, sure, maybe. Yeah, that's good. Let's do one more. That's great. We're doing good. Let's go in the back. We gotta go in the back a little bit here. Let's go all the way in the back. Ooh, that's a good one. Favorite worship song. I love that we did Run to the Father last night. Or was that last night? I think it was last night. They're all in together. Run to the Father is up there for me. I love that one right now. But I also love, if I just need to like go and worship and get crazy and praise the Lord. Praise right now for me is the Elevation. Praise is awesome right now. I love being able to worship to that. But also, Run to the Father, just there's this idea of being able to run to Him and He's there. That's really special for me as well. So I love those two. Obviously, you can't go wrong. If it's the worship song we're singing to Jesus, it's a good one, right? Those are good questions. We'll come back. We'll do some more this evening. Thanks for asking. You guys never disappoint on some of your questions. I want to know from you, though, and I want to remind you this. I ask you this question, and some of you in this room might be like, Brendan, why do we read the devotion in the morning and we read through the passage on our own, and then you come back and we just read the same thing with you? And I want to reiterate something. I think that's really important. There's something about reading it for yourself first, pulling out, because what we're challenging you to do is pulling out things that stick out to you before Brennan says anything, before Brennan brings anything to the table from the Lord, hopefully, right? Before I say anything, there's something good about you being able to read it and pull things out and pick things apart of what sticks out to you and what's important to you, and then coming together, and maybe some of the things that I share are some things that actually stuck out to you on your own. And maybe some of them are different, and that's what's really cool about Scripture, is that different things stick out in the same passage. We can see different things. Every time we read Scripture, we can pull something different out, and it's really cool that we get to do that. And at the end of this whole thing, we can say that we've read James all the way through twice, because you've read it on your own and pulled things out, and we've read it together and we've pulled things out. So I think that's really cool. And hopefully you see that, and you don't see it as, oh, we have to read the same thing, or we're going through the same thing, and it's just this, the same words and the same scripture passage. That's on purpose. There actually is a purpose for that, and hopefully you see that. But I want you, person next to you, person around you, I want you to answer your question this morning. What stuck out to you as you read on your own this morning in your devotion time, okay? As you read on your own, what stuck out to you? What's one thing that you underlined, you highlighted, that stuck out to you in your brain as you read through the passage? And then what do you need to do about it? So what stuck out to you? Why did it stick out to you? And what are you going to do about it on the screen? Talk with someone really fast. Discuss. All right, start to wrap up some of your conversation. Good stuff. Hopefully you all have something to share. Something stuck out to you. Maybe it was one verse, one thought, one part of the passage that you really, that stuck out to me, and this is why you're able to verbalize those things. We're going to get ready to dive in, so buckle in together. I'm going to give you a statement to start this. I'm going to give you a statement, and I want you to help me prove that statement true. So I want you to give me examples that prove that statement true. Okay, my statement is this. Small things, that was fast, I didn't even finish the statement. Small things can cause great results. Small things can cause great results. So what are some things, as you're thinking through, what are some small things that have big impacts in life? And you can just, I want to be able to get some of these here. I've got some examples, but I want to hear what you have. Small things that create big impact in life. What do you got? Tongue. You cheater. Tongue. We're going to get to that one. That's a good answer. Yeah.
A spark.
Like a flame. Yeah. All flame, all fire, right? Spark starts with a spark. Yeah. Nice. A simple word, right? A simple smile is what I had. A smile is a good one right here. What was that? Donating money. A penny, right? Sometimes the littlest amount, it means a big deal. Yeah.
Verses.
Like, okay, good. Oh, the boat. Okay, good. We're going back to the passage. Right? The what is this called? Rudder, right? The rudder. Yeah, good. A prayer. A prayer for someone is good. Way in the back. One more time. The environment, right? That's good. We talked about recycling earlier, right? The environment. Yeah. The rudder on a boat. Good one. Yep. The bit in the horse's mouth. You guys are good. You guys are going right out of the passage. I love that. Yeah. Spark starting a fire, good one. One act of kindness, that's good. We have all those? Okay, one more. Small red on our boat, good. Those are good ones. So again, things that I thought of. A smile, right? One small smile can change someone's day. We have no idea what that can do to someone. Think about this, a hearing aid. A hearing aid, how small a hearing aid is and how big of an impact it makes when someone can actually hear. Right? That's different. What about a seed, a small seed? The smallest seed can create something so great and so grand and so large. The other one that I had, I thought of a small spark and one little decision. One small decision that we make can move into and create something so big and a life-changing experience for us. We probably all have some sort of example of something small that's escalated into something larger, right? Some large, grand result, right, in our life. Hopefully we have something that we can think of in that way. Small things can cause great results. They can cause great impact. So another example we're going to talk about this morning, someone said, the first one, right, who was very first? The tongue, right? The tongue. is one that we're going to talk about, which might seem silly, might seem crazy, might seem weird. Our tongues have great impact. They're small, but they have great impact. And we're going to read about what James has to say about taming our tongue. So let's pray together. We're going to open up James chapter 3 and start on James 3 tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we welcome you in this place. Spirit, would you move? Would you be present? Would you move in this room, in our hearts? Would we give you room to move? Would we allow you to speak to us and challenge us in ways that we need to better tame our tongues and better make use of our tongues so we can be pleasing and bless others, and we can do what you're asking us to do. So as we open your word, would it become alive? Would it penetrate our hearts and allow us to hear from you this morning? We pray all these things in your name. Amen. James chapter 3. Open up James chapter 3. Let's get ready to roll. James 3, verses 1 is where we're going to start. Verse 1, taming the tongue, taming the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Pause. James starts out by practically teaching something, by warning those of us kind of like me. So, James, I got it. I hear your warning, right? He says, if you teach, if you stand up, if you have extra responsibility and you're equipped to pull and to teach other people about what I have to say, be careful because there's a challenge, there's a responsibility in that, and you will be judged more strictly, which is daunting, but it's also a great responsibility that we have. So those of you who are even in this place, or your leaders maybe, who are thinking about going into ministry, going into teaching, going into some sort of ministry opportunity or example, that's an awesome, great responsibility. There's a challenge here as well. We will be judged more strictly on the ways that we have those great responsibilities. With great responsibility comes great expectations by God. Okay, those things. So, again, I was tempted just to skip over that one and to move to tonight's, but I thought we better not do that. We probably need to talk about this one as well. It's a good challenge. We're going to be strict. They're going to be strict in our what we have responsibility in. If we teach, if you have an opportunity to be able to teach in some way or to share God's word with other people, he says we'll be judged more strictly. Anyways, let's move on. Verse 2 tells us that we all stumble in different ways, right? Duh, James, we've been over that already. Tell us something we don't know, right? But James says, he leads us into where he's going with the rest of the challenge. Words. The words that we say are so important. The way that we use our mouths and what we say, not only to ourselves but to other people, is very, very important. James says that if you're ever able to completely, without fault, keep your mouth in check and keep perfect with what you say, then the rest of your body will also be in check as well. A person's words, okay, what he says, a person's words reflect a person's character. A person's words, what we say, reflect who we are and our character in a lot of ways, okay? We can act and we can fake a lot of things, but our words reflect our character in many ways. In other words, words are the keys to a person's whole being. Words are the keys to a person's whole being. It could be easy to look at this and say, oh, I need to strive to perfection in this. I don't think that James is actually saying, hey, I think the goal, obviously the end goal is perfection, but I think he realizes and we realize in this life that's going to be difficult, almost impossible to gain, right, to get to perfection. I don't think we're searching for, again, apart from Jesus himself, is going to be able to be perfect in his words. But other than that, we should be striving for perfection? Not so much. I think we should be striving for holiness. Holiness in our words and the things that we say. There are ways that we can work towards becoming more holy in the ways that we tame our tongues. Okay, there are things that we can do to become closer to and more holy in the ways that we use and utilize our tongues in the way that we share with other people. So again, that's the first little section. Let's dive in some more. Verses 3 to 6. Verse 3, when we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and they're driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. So in the following verses, a lot of what we talked about, right, a lot of the examples that you gave, which were really good, are in this passage of a small thing that causes great impact, that causes great results, right? Anybody have any experience with horses? Yeah, some experience. Maybe you ride them, or anybody train horses? Anybody have horses of their own or like in their house? Okay, maybe a couple. All right, cool. So I don't. Okay, I've ridden them, but that's about the extent of it. That's where I've gotten. So I'm not a horse trainer. But when a trainer or an owner wants to make horses do what they want, they put these little things called bits into their mouth, right? And it's attached there. And then they have, once that happens, they kind of have full control of the animal in some ways, right? Am I right in that? Yeah. So once you have those bits in there, you can really direct where the animal goes. The whole body, the whole horse, the huge horse that it is, right, can be moved and directed by this small bit that's in the mouth. They obey the owner, and they can easily then be turned, easily, relatively, turned in those ways. Anybody ever been on a cruise? We've been on cruises in here? Okay. Yeah, we've been on a cruise. It wasn't the greatest experience. I would go back. My wife, maybe not so much, but cruises, good. We've all been on, some of us have been on cruises, those big ships, right? Those big ships that they use, which is crazy. We went on a cruise. It wasn't the greatest experience. There was some bad weather, so it wasn't all the most fun thing, but it was fine. But it's eerie. Isn't it just eerie to be out in the middle of the water, like to look around at night and there's no land anywhere? Is that weird for anybody else? Yeah, okay. But those ships, right, that they use, the ships that you're on, when you're on those cruise ships, right, they're large and they're driven by strong winds, it says. The engines and motors now, obviously, we know that too. But they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. This little small rudder directs where this whole ship, this huge ship goes, what direction it goes. Again, another example of a small thing causing great impact, great results. The horse and the ship, both controlled by very little things, that one small thing can create a crazy amount of difference, and the results could be catastrophic if they're not the right results, if not the right movement, right? Verses 3 and 4 make clear this point. My tongue directs me. My tongue directs me. The things I say, the way that I use my mouth, it directs me. Just like the rudder, just like the bit in the horse's mouth directs an animal, directs a ship, our tongues direct us in where we're going. Another example, in this passage, we see a big forest fire starts most often by one small spark. And that small spark grows, right? It becomes a fire, and then a larger forest fire. And then on all of a sudden, right, this big forest fire is taking place. And Smokey the Bear is out, and he's telling you not to do that, right? The example he's going after here, though, the tongue. The tongue is one of the smaller organs in our body, but it has control over the whole person. The verse here says that the tongue is a... Again, it's a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. It makes great boasts. It causes great damage. The tongue is a fire, right, is what it says. It can corrupt us. It can corrupt others. It can corrupt the whole body, and it can set the course of where a person's going to go. Our mouth directs where we're going to go a lot of times. Okay? Even with its small stature in itself, even to the point where it says it is itself set on fire by hell. Obviously, the tongue is dangerous. It's powerful, and it has the ability to build up or to tear down, right? We know that our mouths, our tongues have the ability to build up someone or ourselves, or to tear us or tear other people down, to bring life or to bring death to ourselves or to other people. It's powerful. So verses 5 to 8 show that my tongue, not only is my tongue direct me, but my tongue has the ability to destroy. My tongue can destroy. If used improperly, if used incorrectly, my tongue has the ability and the power to destroy, which is a dangerous thought. So how do we fight against that? How do we combat that? Let's keep reading. Let's read more. Talking about taming our tongues. Verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. I brought my friend Bailey in this morning. Anybody? So Bailey here is Eric, right? Eric and Lindsay's dog in the back there. Has anybody, just because I know you guys love dogs and it'd be fun, what kind of dog, Eric, is Bailey? Baby golden doodle. Anybody have dogs at home? Anybody have a baby golden doodle at home? No? Bailey at home? Yeah, so Bailey, okay, so Bailey is one example of an animal that has been trained, question mark? Yeah, it's been trained. I know, have anyone seen Luca around here too? Luca's the other dog that's kind of around here sometimes. Luca's been trained. I can see Kendra's been working with Luca as well. So Bailey, look at that, just sitting there. Oh, nice. So has anybody ever had to train an animal? You train a dog or some other kind of animal? Okay, what was your experience like with that? Good, bad, otherwise? Okay. So Bailey and other animals that we see, that we know of, right? I can't tell if she's loving this or hating this, but it's great. I love that she's here. Bailey is an animal that has been trained, right? It's been tamed. There's been things that you can do, right? I'm assuming involving treats, involving positive reinforcement, right? To help Bailey and other animals learn how to be tame or be trained in those ways. Okay, now not clapping or cheering to scare the animal, but with little like snaps, can we cheer for Bailey to be on the stage? Thank you, Bailey. That's so great. And thank you as well for bringing Bailey on the stage. So Bailey, Luca, examples of animals, right? Animals who have been tamed. Okay, maybe you've had experiences as well of trying to tame or train animals. Okay, and thank goodness we didn't have any accidents on the stage because that would have been bad. But what it says here is no human being, so you, me, the person next to you, the person behind you, no human being can tame the tongue. Which is scary and upsetting, right? We can't tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. No human being can tame their tongue. It's impossible to do it on our own. So what can we do about it? How can we work on training and taming the tongue? Thankfully, we don't have to do it on our own, right? We can work towards an understanding of the severity and how important our tongue is and what we use it for and how we do what we say, but also we can work towards a taming of it as well with help. Proverbs. I'm going to read two passages in Proverbs. Proverbs 18:21, again, this understanding that there is some severity when it comes to the tongue, says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We have that ability to bring life or death with what we say and how we respond to people. Proverbs 13:3 says, whoever guards his mouth preserves, keeps, saves his life. But he who opens up wide his lips comes to ruin. Matthew in the New Testament talks about the day of judgment coming and everyone will have to give account for the words that they said, right? For the words that you're condemned, again, justified, every careless word that they speak, you're going to be judged by. If Jesus, okay, let's think about Jesus. If anyone had the opportunity to condemn or to say mean things or to bring things back and say, that's not fair, it was Jesus, right? He had every opportunity to condemn or curse people, but he knew and he saw the Father, he saw the God's example, God's creation in someone, right, in those people, and he chose not to do that. He should be an example of how to tame the tongue and not lose control of it. There's a guy named Washington Irving. He's a really old guy. He's a writer, a historian, a diplomat. He said this about the tongue. All these things reminding you and giving you a glimpse into how important, how valuable the tongue is, right? The tongue is the only tool that gets sharper with use. Think about it. The tongue is the only tool that gets sharper with use. The more that you use it, the sharper, more dangerous potentially it can become. Our words are powerful. My tongue shows me who I am. My tongue, yes, also has the power to destroy. My tongue directs where I go, but my tongue shows who I am. Let me show you what I mean. Verses 9 and 10 talk about the hypocrisy and the double purpose usage of our mouths, of our tongue. The same tongue we try to praise the Lord, but also we curse his people that he created in his image. We're cursing, we're saying mean things that we're talking badly about or whatever it might be about those who are created in his likeness, that have the likeness of God in them. We have the likeness of God. We were created in his image. And when we both praise the Lord, which we just did, and we do those things, but also we're cursing those people and the God is in them, that should not be, right, is what he says. That should not be. James says this doesn't make sense, and it can't be the case. You can't both praise God and curse humans, which means to vindicate or to judge other people, to judge human beings, because God created us in his image, right? So when we curse or judge human beings, we're actually judging or cursing God in other people, which is, again, not what we want to be doing. In other words, this, let me say it this way. What you say usually displays how you feel. What you say usually displays how you feel. You can mask your face or your expressions or sometimes your feelings or whatever, but often what we say in the heat of the moment or what we say out of just the right off the bat in our initial reaction, what we say usually displays how we feel in fairly full terms, right? So how can we work towards holiness in the process? Knowing that perfection might not be possible and might not even be asked of us, at least on this side of heaven, I think there are a few things we can do to help tame the tongue in the meantime. See, the mouth comes from the heart. So we need to take Psalms 51:10, his example, and ask God to create in us a pure heart. Okay, because out of our heart, if our heart is clean, if our heart is pure, it's much easier to keep our mouth clean, our mouth pure in those ways. Create in us, Psalm 51:10, a new heart. Ask God to change or to give us a new heart. Ask God to help us control our words. We might not be able to do it on our own, but thank God we don't have to. We can ask God to help us take note and realize and recognize our hypocritical mouth usage, right? And how we do both praise God and curse human beings. Being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. See, they all kind of go together, right? We already talked about that. They all kind of run together, which is what Scripture does. Yesterday, James ended this section talking about things that they don't mix. They don't go together, right? Yesterday, we talked about things that always go together, right? It seems like they always happen together. Today, we're going to talk in just a little bit at the end here about things that don't go together, that cannot mix. They don't go together. Fresh water and salt water, they don't flow from the same place. It just doesn't happen. Fig trees, they can't bear olives. They can't have olives on them. If it's a fig tree, it's a fig tree, right? It's not an olive tree. They don't have olives on them. And grapevines, they don't grow figs. Salt and fresh water again. Likewise, praising God out of our mouths and cursing man out of our same mouths cannot mix. They can't go together. So we need to learn to tame the tongue. All right, these ridiculous natural contrasts, they never go together, which drives home the point that these just also can't happen together. We were created to give God glory in everything, including what we say. But because of sin, when sin entered the world, when we are now have a susceptibility to sin, we are tempted to use our tongues for all sorts of sinful reasons. The words that we say, however small they might be, have the ability to have a big influence on the rest of our lives. A small thing that can create large results. Small thing that can create large impact. So as we close in that to this morning, I want to do something a little bit different. Maybe than you've ever done before. Probably than you've ever done before. I want to go back to verse 9. With the tongues we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. As we close this morning, I want to take some time. We've already taken time to praise the Lord together, right, with our worship. And quite actually, also I might add, the band continues to kill it each time this week. So band, great job again. But I wonder if some of us, even since we've been here this week, maybe in the last day or so, even maybe this morning, which is sad to think about, but maybe already this morning, I wonder if in some way, shape, or form, we've used the same mouth that we praise each morning and each night, God, with, to hurt or to vindicate or to judge or to give pain towards ourselves or other people. I wonder if that same tongue has been used to tear people down or to hurt people or to bully people or in some sort of way to bring death to relationships. So this morning I want us to take a tongue inventory, which is weird. Anybody ever done that before? No. Good. We're going to do something new. A tongue inventory. When we respond here in just a second as we continue to go through today, I want us to take note of our tongue inventory. Before we do anything, we're going to ask again the Lord just to reveal, what is it that we've said? What is it that we've had conversations? How have I responded with people? What are some things that maybe I've said that have been negative or harmful or painful or harsh to other people even this week? Hopefully God will bring to mind conversations and faces and names and all the things maybe that you've already been a part of this week. So in that way, as we have this tongue inventory, right, the goal then is to, as we think about some of those things, I want us to write down. So as we think about, we take time to actually think about, what has my mouth been saying? What have I used my mouth to bring life or death to? We need to start listing some of those things that maybe have been negative. So if we're honest with ourselves, are there ways, are there situations, are there conversations or examples that we've had even this week since we've been here that we've used our mouth to harm or bring death to other people? The hardest part is that sometimes, again, we talk about how sometimes our biggest, the hardest person to love, the hardest person to be nice to, the hardest person to use our mouths kindly for is ourselves. So that could be to yourself as well. What are things that maybe you said about yourself or you've thought about yourself that also have been painful or brought death and not been what God asks us to do or asks us to use our mouths for? So as we think about that, again, even as we close out right now in this time, I want us to be thinking about what are some ways that we've used our mouths, and I want us to write an inventory. Just write down some of those phrases that we've said or the things that have been unkind or the thought or whatever it might be that we've said. It might be in joking. It might be in just back and forth messing around with our friend or a buddy, but they actually have power. If we put power to what we say, we realize even the funny stuff might be hurtful, might be harmful. So what are the things that we're saying, and how are we using our mouths? And as we do that, as we take time to think about that and things are revealed to us and we write things down, we need to be thinking about what needs to change then. What do we need to do about this? Are there people that you might need to apologize to, even this week? As you think about at home, maybe right before you came, was there a conversation or an interaction that you had that was harmful that you need to be ready to apologize for when you get back home with a parent, the sibling, the friend, whatever it might be? Is there someone here that it's been hard, like we had a conversation that wasn't nice? We know that. We need to go and apologize to that person. Are there things that you need to repent of? What needs to change so that it doesn't continue to happen, but also what needs to change right now and what needs to happen right now based on what has already taken place? So I'm gonna pray for us, okay? And then I just want to give us a minute, okay? I know we don't have a ton of response time. I want to give us just a moment, okay, to start thinking about some of those things and the ways that we've responded or the words that we've said that might be harmful. Again, at the top of your page, just write tongue inventory. I just want you to start listing some of those things that come to mind of what are ways that I've used my mouth that might not have been the way that God wants me to. And how can I start to tame the tongue? What needs to change in that way? Let me pray for us. We'll have a minute of response, and then we'll let you get out of here.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.